Well, a friend of mine remarked to me the other day, this period of time in history is probably going to go down as the dumb ages.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I really do believe that this period of time in which we live could potentially go down as the stupidest time in our history. And this in spite of all of our scientific breakthroughs, accumulated knowledge, and all of our vast technology. People today, I think, are dumber than they were just a few decades ago, and definitely dumber than a century ago. Not near as educated. They become sophomoric. They are overly educated fools. We see it on our college campuses all day long. People that are supposedly intelligent studying in colleges that can't decide what their gender is. This is what we've been reduced to. A mere caricature of ourselves, of what we could be potentially. And so these will be the dumb ages. Gender confusion, all the stuff that has gone on with the pandemic. You would think, and I'm just going to kind of show my age here. We always used to watch TV shows going way back in time, like Star Trek, when the world was a happy and peaceful place and everybody was unified. And if anything, today, compared to even the 1960s, I think we're more divided now than we were 50 to 60 years ago. Now, is that an accident? No, I think it's all by design, to be quite blunt. We are living in a world, as I mentioned yesterday, where the narratives are highly controlled, whether we want to believe it or not. Alternative media is increasingly being taken over by those that are finding a way to make a buck. And they are providing many sensational headlines that many believe right up front because they are predisposed to want to believe those headlines. And oftentimes those headlines are false, they're fake, they're phony, they're nonsensical, they're just made up. And people keep just repeating it and repeating it blindly without thinking through. It's like doing a copy and paste on Facebook. How many times if you use Facebook? I know a lot of you don't even touch computers, and if it wasn't for the fact that I have to do the research for this radio program, I probably would do a lot less of it myself. But every day, not a day goes by where there's not some silly, just copy and paste this to your timeline thing. And I cannot believe in this time of supposed intellectual superiority with our technology that people are still falling for some of the stupidest things on earth. I mean, let's be honest. Anything that is copy and paste on Facebook is nothing more than a high-tech chain letter. Let me give you an example. I get two or three of these a week, sometimes a day, where somebody says, if you just copy and paste this notice into your Facebook page, it'll protect your privacy settings and Facebook can't use your pictures and this, that, and the other. Total garbage. Nonsensical. It's not going to happen. You can post anything you want on Facebook, but it's not going to change your terms of service that you signed to and agreed to up front. So when you see that, don't do it. Don't copy and paste it to your timeline. It's worthless. It changes nothing. Or the one that says, hey, if you copy and paste this to your timeline, you won't see any advertising anymore. And you'll see a bunch of old friends you haven't seen because, you know, Facebook limits you to just 26 friends. That, too, is garbage. And then there's a poor guy out there. His name is Gregory, and his last name escapes me. It's a prayer chain because Gregory has cancer. And he wants the whole world to pray for him. Well, it's a wonderful and nice sentiment, but I got news for you. Greg died in 2012. So he's been gone now for, I don't know, 11 years. You would think with all the technology, all the vast knowledge at our fingertips, we could vet things out better than we do. Now, I only mention this using this little example of Facebook because so many people use Facebook. I only point this out so you can follow me on something here. How many times do you go to news pages that you think you can trust? And there are all these inside stories about this, that, or the other. And I'm realizing, and this is what I was trying to point out yesterday, and hear me out, listen to me carefully on this. This is something you need to begin to comprehend for your own good. Even much of the so-called alternative and conservative media is compromised. Much of it is not trustworthy. Much of it is just clickbait. People are making lots of money off selling you conservative ideals and fear and all that goes with it. I point out that there are so many websites, so many radio programs, so many podcasts, so many videocasts. People are not producing, for the most part. Now, there are exceptions to all rules, understand me. People do not start producing all kinds of videos just because they have a community spirit and they care about your well-being. For many of these individuals, this is their business. This is their livelihood. This is how they make a living. And the more people that go to their website, the more traffic that comes through, the more they can make money. Now, they can make money one of several ways. They can either have advertising on the site or on their program or their podcast, whatever the case may be, or they can sell merchandise, or they can do both, or they can fundraise, or they can have a paywall, which is increasingly becoming the norm in today's society, a subscription-based model. I subscribe to a number of both free and paid items from something called Substack. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Many great writers, conservative, many people that I consider reliable, they can't get any traction anywhere else, so they've gone to self-publishing, and for a small amount each month, it ranges from $2 to $5 a month per subscription. You can get their writings on almost a daily basis. And some of these people are very trustworthy. Some of them, I'm learning they're not, so I have canceled those subscriptions. Getting information today to share to you to study and research is becoming more difficult. It used to be you could watch certain conservative news channels to get a feel of what is going on. But even that, as far as I'm concerned, is getting more and more compromised on a daily basis. Once again, it goes back to human greed and money. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I know that a lot of people can't do what I'm doing the way I'm doing it. I am retired, so I am not looking at this radio program as my livelihood. I made my livelihood working in broadcasting, working in ministry as a full-time pastor for a number of years, and I have since retired from that kind of full-time work. I could stop this radio program tomorrow morning. I could pull the plug at the end of the week, notify the radio stations I'm not doing this anymore, and, you know, in a week or so, I could take the website down, the whole thing, and financially, it would be, if anything, an improvement for me. Because my wife and I, besides having to invest a lot of time into this, there's sometimes money that comes out of our pocket to sustain this. This is not my source of income. And honestly, there have been times in recent weeks I've debated, do I want to continue to do this? And I say, Lord, I'll keep doing it as long as you want me to. As long as we can pay the radio stations, we'll be there. That's where we're at, really. And always have been from day number one. This was never about building an industry or building a brand or anything like that. This was all about issues that I saw being raised in 2020 with the pandemic and the upcoming election here in the United States, and watching the domino effect with COVID-19 across the globe and how it forever has changed our life globally. And I'm now beginning to see people reacting accordingly to all the negativity that transpired, the stupidity, the dumbing of society. There are still people out there that are deathly afraid of COVID-19. They're deathly afraid of the virus, and they're going to keep lining up for the booster shots. The only good news is, in a country of 330 million people, only 1.2 or 1.3 million people have lined up for the booster shots. In other words, a 90% or better drop from the last go-around. People are beginning to get wise. And I feel sorry for that one in basically 250 people that still believe that the booster shots actually work. They have been propagandized to the point of they can't function. They're believing every lie out there, and it's been done with the greatest motivator of all, fear. And even, and I've mentioned this before, maybe you're a new listener on WTWW, I've mentioned this before. I started noticing over a year ago, year and a half ago, on what used to be considered the go-to conservative media, they were getting compromised more and more. Those advertising dollars to push the vaccine from the government, and even some of the hosts on many of the programs. I can remember watching one day, like I say, I'm retired, so there's sometimes I'm home in the daytime. I put on Fox News, and I'm trying to remember which program it was in the midday. And there, everybody's just raving about how wonderful the vaccines are. You know, line up, roll up your sleeve, we can do it together, the whole bit. While there were still a couple of the hosts at nighttime that were a little bit hesitant, not so fast. But once again, it's all about the money. Newsmax was no better. A number of their people were also saying, line up and take the vaccine today. It will reduce your chances of this, that, or the other. And we warned you then, and I stand by it today, all of it was one big fat lie. All of it. We now know, without any doubt, the vaccine does not stop you from getting or spreading the coronavirus. End of discussion. Its efficacy was always a blown-up lie. It never did what they claimed it would do, and they've been hiding all the negative stuff it actually does do to people. We also know now the protocols of 2020 and into 2021 in the hospitals, I think, are what killed most of the people. People didn't die at home of corona for the most part. They just didn't. They died in the hospital. But people kept remembering those videos from China where people were walking down the sidewalk and suddenly they keeled over dead, and the hazmat team rushes out there to dispose of the body. And we have people here in the United States today that still believe the lie. There's so many stories that I have in front of me that concern me that I want to share with you. But the idea of getting information and being really, really cautious about your source and sharing the things you read until you do some more research. Too much of the media today, even the alternative media, is highly compromised. And I pray about this every day. Lord, how do I know this story is true? How can I vet it? Where? Give me peace on a story. I don't want to share with you anything that is just, I will tell you if it's speculative or just opinion, but I don't want to share with you anything and call it a truth if I have doubts. When I talk about the vaccines not stopping you from getting COVID and all that I've mentioned about it, I feel very comfortable in what I share because time has proven me correct with the statistics that have come out from the various governments around the world. The predictions that this would end COVID were nonsensical. It never did. It never will. And I really believe that we're beginning to see. And also, think about this while it's on my mind. Remember how many of the so-called conservative alternative media made some other dire predictions about the vaccine, how it's going to wipe out a third of the population by the end of 2022. Well, here we are approaching the end of 2023 and none of it ever happened. And so once again, I could give you a list of programs and many of you send me video links. Oh, you got to watch this guy or that guy, his program about this. These are the same boneheads that lied to you before, gave you clickbait headlines, and you bought their vitamins or solar generators or whatever it is they're selling. And you tell me that they're the go-to people, yet they keep giving you misinformation or sell you stuff that may be questionable. I'm thankful that I'm not having to do this for a living anymore, where I would have to consider ways of raising additional funds to support the program and a staff if needed to do a better, you know, more a lengthier program. I'm glad I'm not in that realm anymore. That all I need to do is do the research to the best of my ability. I get before this microphone. I share with you the things that I find, that I have a confidence level of truth. And then I ask you to support the radio program, not me, the radio program, to buy the airtime to keep it going. And then I use the platform in addition to spreading the good news of the gospel. That's just pretty much what I do. As many of you know, I've taken on the responsibility of launching a small mission church here in Southwest Virginia. It is, once again, like this, an unpaid job. I don't need the paycheck. Oh, I'd like to have it, but I don't need it. God has been faithful to meet my needs. The only thing I've ever asked you for with this radio program is your prayers and to help pay for the airtime. My time is free. The airtime is not. And for a month or so, we're starting to broadcast on WTWW, and I've noticed they've had some technical issues with the audio quality. It's not the program. There's something on their end, and I'm trying to work with them to see if it can be resolved. But the coverage is wonderful, and I'm glad to have this other voice to try out for a season. But once again, it's not free. But if the response is positive, we stay. If not, we don't. And if we get to the point that you don't want to support the program, look, I understand the economy. My wife and I are living it too. We know what the grocery prices are. We live on a fixed income. We know what the gasoline prices are. I empathize. And also, like I say, I'm going to come out and admit it. This program is recorded a little bit in advance. We're probably, as you're hearing this, getting back from a doctor's appointment that I've had out of town, where we had to go the night before and be gone for a whole day and a half to make that appointment. As I continue my bladder cancer journey, and hopefully by later this week, I can give you some updates. There may be another exploratory microscopic surgery plan to see if everything is all right. I don't know if that's going to be the case, if and when, and I'll let you know this week. So I appreciate your prayers. I believe in shortwave radio. I believe in using the internet as long as I can, as long as the podcast is available. And I remind people all the time that this could be fleeting. The tech tyrants proved themselves in 2020 of having a tremendous amount of power over the dialogue in the United States. anybody that questioned the narrative about COVID-19 using hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Now that it's funny, now they say, "Oh, we never said you couldn't use it. Oh, we know it worked, but we just they're backtracking. They're backtracking." But back then, I know that this radio program, for a while, the audio was available on YouTube. And episode after episode after episode started to vanish. Anytime I mention hydroxychloroquine, anytime I mention anything that went against the narrative, YouTube and the fascist communist of Google would take it down. It would disappear. Google owns YouTube. They own Blogger. And I, at one time, thought about using Blogger as a way to do some writing. I've decided not to. Once again, go against the grain, they take it down. When we started this radio program, a way you could support us back then, in the beginning, was using PayPal. But then I watched how PayPal would suddenly decide they don't like you, and they would hold your money because they disagreed with your assessment. And people had money tied up for weeks and months from PayPal and no ability to get it because they called you disinformation, even though you were telling the truth and they're the ones promoting the lie. That's why we went to GiveSendGo for online support to pay for radio airtime. Shortwave radio to me has a blessing and a curse. It is a blessing because the tech tyrants can't shut it down. They can't block you from hearing it. It crosses international borders. Signals like WRMI and WTWW literally blanket the entire United States. Maybe not all of it at one time. We reach into Europe and Canada as well. I have actually had response and listeners that have picked up this program in Russia, in Italy, in the United Kingdom, in France. And I really wish it could be heard in the Middle East. Maybe that'll happen someday. My purpose is to give you information and ideas and a way to look at the world from a purely Christian worldview. And I've got some stories to share. Like I say, I didn't realize my opening monologue was going to run this long. But I just felt that I wanted to kind of set up where we're at. You've got to be careful in the media you consume. You got to be careful in who you listen to and what's their motivation. Why are they doing what they're doing? There are many conservative. Look, I'm a free market kind of guy. I get it. I have nothing against people making a good living. I really don't. And I just don't want people to hide behind the shield of being a great conservative speaker and promoter and broadcaster or podcaster or television superstar, and people not really understanding that they're making tremendous amount of money for themselves, the companies they work for, and the advertisers to those programs. And I know one of the reasons that Tucker Carlson is probably not at Fox, he had great ratings, but the advertisers, many of the big ones, did not want to be associated with this program. And so Fox was compromised. It's all about the money. There is an acceptable conservative narrative, and there's a line you can't cross. He kept crossing the line. He spoke against Ukraine war. He speaks against things that the establishment media and understand. There are Democrats and Republicans that quietly and happily agree on certain issues that we're supposed to support, especially when it has to do with war and the military-industrial complex. I mean, there's an allowable thing. We are pitted against each other each and every day. There was a great cartoon I saw. You see a king standing up there at the top of his castle with one of his advisors. And he told the king, "You don't have to fight these people. Just tell the people with the pitchforks, the people with the torches want to steal their pitchforks. Let them fight among themselves." And that's what's being done to you and I today in this country. We fight each other while the swamp, while the globalist, while the fake and phony conservatives that are in bed with the leftist lunatic liberals continue to do their thing to us. That's what you've got to recognize. A house divided among itself cannot stand. We know that. I mean, that's as old as, well, history itself. One more great line that I saw. Those that do not study history are doomed to repeat it. But also, those who have studied history are relegated to watching those that didn't study history repeat it. And I think that's the point we are today. These will go down as the dumb ages, when people can't identify their gender, their sexuality, and sexuality among preschoolers is more important to a preschool teacher than teaching how to spell their name. It's a reprobate society, reprobate leadership, evil to the core. And the only solution for any of it is not found in the things of this world. And I know I get people mad. I know I have made a few people mad when I say this. Elections are not going to save the world. If elections could save the world, well, here we are 2,000 years since the time of Christ. Has the world been saved by elections? I've been voting for 50 years. Are we better off today than we were 50 some odd years ago? We didn't worry about gender confusion. We didn't worry about all of the stuff that has become part of our culture today back then, but we have to worry about it now. So no, elections didn't solve it. Now, I still vote, and I will vote for the candidate that I believe in my heart will do our nation right, not infringe on our liberties, and not get in the way of the mission and ministry of the church. In other words, they will value the Bill of Rights. I may disagree with some of the people I vote for on some issues, but there are certain issues that there is zero compromise, and I will not compromise. But the most important thing I can do is help you find the truth, to sort through all of the clickbait nonsense, fake news stories, and of course, the lying mainstream media that has pushed a narrative upon you and I. And to teach you not to fall into the trap of their division, to keep us at war with each other and not against the real enemy of our nation and our souls and our family. It's not an easy job. And there are times that I say, Lord, would you deliver me from this so I don't have to do this anymore? Look, I'm going to be real honest as we go to the break here. I pray every day to have people that can help me with this radio program. At my age, and with all the other things that God has in front of me that I'd like to accomplish while I'm physically still able to do so, I could use some help. But I have to pay for the airtime, so I can't get the help. That's the catch-22 that I'm in right now. And I know many of you maybe don't understand the need. I mean, as long as the program is still there and that you haven't supported it, you don't worry about it. It becomes out of sight, out of mind. A lot of people do that with the church. They see the church is still open, the church is still there, the lights are still on, there's still music, there's still a preacher, so why? What do you need my money for? And they don't know behind the scenes that maybe that little reserve fund is getting smaller and smaller. I understand what it's like to live in these uncertain times in which we do. I am more empathetic than you will ever understand, because I am in the same boat you are. My car is 10 years old, and I don't anticipate getting a new one or even a new old one anytime in the next several years, because it's not in the financial cards. There's no need to. but I will keep coming to this microphone as long as God gives me peace to do so, and as long as the airtime can be paid. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We do not sell any advertising on this radio program. Now, I may bring a guest on from time to time, but they're not paid. I've had, like, Dr. Wong on, and I let him mention his supplements, which I happen to like, but I'm not being paid to do that. Doesn't help me a bit. It may help you. I don't have a paywall for the podcast. Like, you have to give, you know, $5 or $10 a month, and you can have unlimited access to the podcast site. I'm not doing that. I'm not selling any products to be prepared for the apocalypse. I'm not doing that either. Now, maybe one day I'm going to bring somebody on to talk about where you can find reputable companies that sell it to you cheaper than buying it through some other person, you know, like a middleman. If I really believe the need is there to do that. And there's plenty of great companies out there that do that without having to do a markup. That's why I come to you to support the radio program. Right now, we're on WRMI. Let me kind of give you the schedule for those that may listen as a podcast. Our first airing is at 11 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time on 15770. That broadcast can be heard on the East Coast of the United States and into Europe. Then it comes on again at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 9395. Once again, East Coast, Midwest, Northern Midwest, Chicago, Cleveland, that part of the world. Right where I live here in Virginia, North Carolina, up into Pennsylvania. We have that coverage at 6 p.m. Then at 10 p.m., Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, we're on 5950. These are all WRMI. And then at 11 p.m., we are on 9455 heading to the West Coast. That is three or four airings daily on WRMI. And now we have added WTWW, 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time, seven nights a week, so you get some best of programming on the weekends. And some of the material from Trinity Chapel, the church where I'm pastor. Airtime is not free, and we're trying it out. And if you believe in the ministry, now is the time to come to our aid. There is no big reserve fund, and I have to say that we can continue WTWW for a while, but it may have to go to the wayside. I'd like to see some of the other airtime used, and we're working on some things, but pray about it, but support it if you can. The way we get our support, two ways. Online using Give, Send, Go. You can go to our website, look for the support link, and it'll take you to Give, Send, Go, a Christian organization that has been just wonderful to work with. And I thank them for being there. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder. With Bob Bierman.
Split he the wood. Coming up, Shalom Aleichem. This is the Nice Jewish Boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a very, very special gift in a moment. In Genesis 22:3, in the English it reads, Abraham rose early in the morning, but in Hebrew it says, and early rose Abraham in the morning. In English it says, he took two of his youths and Isaac his son, but in Hebrew it says, and took he two of his youths and Isaac his son. In English it says, he split the wood for a burnt offering, but in Hebrew it says, split he the wood for a burnt offering. In English it reads, God created the heavens and the earth. In Hebrew, created God. In English, you say the boy ate. In biblical Hebrew, you say ate the boy. Sounds cannibalistic, but it's not. Do you know something about all this? In English, the noun usually comes first, but in Hebrew, the verb usually comes first. Strange thing, the verb first, then the noun, the action, then the thing. Why is that? Well, in America, we tend to look at things. We tend to think that our life consists of things. But in Hebrew, it wasn't about owning things. In fact, in the Hebrew language, you can't really even own something. You know, but Hebrew is the language of tent dwellers, pilgrims. It says, and it's saying this, that life is not so much about nouns. It's not about what you have or what you own in this world. It's about the verb. It's not about earthly things. It's about the spirit. It's about moving in the spirit. It's not so much about what you own, but where you're going. It's not about your label or your status, but about what you're doing with your life with God. So stop looking at things. Stop living after things. Don't live after things. Don't go after things. Don't get wrapped up in things. Don't get weighed down by things. Start moving in the spirit, in the divine verb of God, a life of loving and giving and hoping, believing, praising, worshiping, overcoming. Because in English, split he the wood doesn't make a good sentence. But in Hebrew, it makes all the sense in the world. Want more? Ask for the divine sentence on CD. Now, how does he receive something so awesome it's been hidden for 2,000 years, never before revealed? The awesome, unprecedented mystery of the temple doors on CD and Sapphire is guaranteed to help you become strong and victorious in God. How do you get all these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Yeshua, the real name of Jesus, and you dial it. To receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel. God promises, I'll bless the one who blesses them. And all the unreached peoples on five continents, the farthest way you can ever touch the world. Shortwave radio, amazing. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Or Haolam, the light of the world.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I've got a friend of mine that I'm going to try to bring onto the radio program maybe a little bit later this week. If not, I want him on the program next week. I've got to get him on the radio with me. He and I met about 23, 24 years ago when I was a church pastor in Southwest Florida. Now, he's got the most unique background, and how we met is also unique. He is a well-trained, highly accomplished, well-educated pastor. He started out in the Methodist Church and was very successful, and then he had a crisis of conscience with a lot of what he was seeing. And he and his very, I'll just say it, spirit-filled wife prayed about it, and he had to walk away for a season from ministry as he tried to find the direction that God had for his life. Besides being a well-accomplished pastor, an author, a Bible, just theologian's theologian, he was also an accomplished organist. That was his hobby. And for a season, he was my church organist. And that's how he and I met. That's how God put this man in contact with me. And he started going through, I would say, a discernment process during the years that he was with me. And God led him into a very different kind of ministry to understand all of the Old Testament prophecies, what's really going on. And I'm going to tell you, he knows vastly more than I know and most people that I know in ministry. This has been his life pursuit for 24 years now. Now, sadly, like I did a number of years ago, he lost a wife to cancer. He's been through the ringer. I know what he's been through. And I'm just excited that he and I have reconnected. And I really want to get him on the program with me to help you and I sort out what is really going on in the Middle East. There's a lot of biblical stuff happening there, a lot of humanistic things happening there, governmental things happening there. There are way too many moving parts for most of us to understand. And what I'm really wanting him to do is help me discern and help you discern exactly what is happening today in that part of the world. And so I will get him on the program as soon as I possibly can. Now, I want to share something with you, if you don't mind, that was sent to me by a friend of mine. And he's a fellow clergyman, and he shared this with some of his friends not long ago. And it's permitted for me to share it with you. And he writes this note. He says, 3 years ago, I had one of the most powerful encounters with Christ in my life. With our world on the brink of World War III, I ask that we each search our lives and our hearts. So he talks about what happened to him 3 years ago, back in August of 2020. And he's sharing this now because of where we are today with all the issues we're facing today, globally, nationally, even in some places locally. And he writes that on August the 25th of 2020 at about 4:30 in the afternoon, he said, I just felt compelled to lay down. And while I was laying down on my bed, I started to pray. And as I quieted my mind and began to focus on the things of God, I suddenly felt like I was being transported into a dimension that seemed to be outside of time and space. Now, before you say, what are you talking about, Bob? The Bible talks about the day will come when old men dream, you know, will have visions, and you'll see the dreams and visions. God does this. Dreams and visions. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And he said, while the totality of what happened next is beyond words, he goes, I was determined to immediately write down my experience afterwards so to be accurate and have a written record of this encounter. While my eyes were closed, he writes, I could see what I thought or appeared to be the face of Jesus before me in the distance. And gradually his face drew nearer and nearer until suddenly I became aware of his body on the cross. Within moments, I felt as though I was being drawn in toward him until I was one with him on the cross. I felt the pain, the pressure of the nails that had been driven through his hands and the blood that bubbled out of his wounds. It was then that the words of the Lord came into my mind. The cup of my wrath is almost full. Unless your nation repents and turns back to me, the horsemen who now stand at the gate will be loosened. Tell my people to return to my principles, to repent of having ignored and broken my laws. Tell them to remember the examples I have given them of my love and discipline. Tell them to remember how I warned and continued to warn Israel in generations past that unless they repented, they would bring judgment upon themselves. I'm going to stop right here. The nation of Israel, and I've seen all the debates, I'm not going to get into it right now, but God's people have been in the land, kicked out of the land, in the land, punished, put under slavery, in bondage for being disobedient to God. They have brought judgment upon themselves numerous times. He goes, at this point, I felt this, and he uses it for lack of a better word, a revelation of God's great love and compassion for his people and for all mankind. That suddenly swept over me. Biblical scenes and sceneries from worlds past and present just kind of flash before my eyes, like a fast-forwarding movie depicting on how God had repeatedly exerted discipline in an overarching effort to influence people to return to Him. In that moment, time seemed to have left me. I felt an overwhelming mix of emotions, which is almost impossible to describe. Mingled with God's breathtaking love for His people was His anger toward people who have defiantly rejected His love and willfully disobeyed His laws. Time seemed to stand still as I entered some unspeakable way into the grief and longing of God. And then my friend writes, "The best description he can make of this combination of emotions is like a parent with a beloved yet obstinate and rebellious child. With deep compassion and great patience, the parent seeks not to control the child, but to influence him to change her behavior and destructive course in life. The parent pleads and reasons with the child, exerting discipline in ever-increasing severity, but to no avail. And finally, the only recourse left to the parent is to pull completely back and to allow the full consequences of the child's ill-chosen life to be brought to bear. All at once," my friend writes, "I felt the agonizing heartbreak, the fearful anger, the unbearable grief, and the passion and love of God toward His children." Now, I'm going to stop right here and say, how many of you as parents or grandparents or just close family have had to deal with something like that? I've been there. I know I can identify, and I know many of you have too. No doubt in my mind. This is where we are right now. God loves His children, but we have angered Him. And even so-called Christians have angered God. Their faith is just words, just whenever it's convenient, whenever it's comfortable. I may go to church, but you know, if there's a golf game on, or, oh, hey, forget it, there's a football game this afternoon. We got to get the party ready. When the things of this world are more important than the things of God, you have a relationship problem and you have a broken relationship that needs to be repaired. And then he writes, "At that moment, I felt like I was on the cross with Christ. My hands pulsated with the physical pain of crucifixion. I was overwhelmed with the ugliness of sin and the horrific consequences of failing to respond to God's discipline and heed His instructions on how to live life. And at the same time, I was overcome with God's love and bringing His longing for His people to return to Him in spite of the grief we have caused Him. Remember, Jesus Christ paid your penalty and my penalty on that cross. This is the death we deserve, the punishment we have earned." And he goes, "Then I felt very strongly to warn people of the coming destruction if we do not return in sorrow and humility to the ways of God." Again, in the flash of a moment, I witnessed the horror of the consequences of breaking God's laws and forfeiting the life of joy and purpose He's intended for us. Scenes of brokenness, loneliness, destruction, and every kind of evil flashed before me with horrible increasing speed, along with the bitter emotions of those who must tragically reap the consequences of a life of disobedience. At the same time, I was mysteriously united in the heart of God and entered into His pain and longing. There were no words between us, simply emotion that is beyond words. Time stood still. Then suddenly I was lying back across my bed. I had no idea how long I'd been there. I got up and I walked in silence into the kitchen. It was almost 6 p.m. My wife was just coming in the door, and she took one look at me and said, "What's wrong? What's the matter?" And he writes, "I was unable to speak. She guided me to sit down in a chair and continued to ask what's wrong. She said, someone died? I began to recount as best I could what had just happened. I drafted a record of my encounter, which continued to affect me over the next several days. I felt during that time to be caught between two realms of existence. I was in the here and now of my accustomed life, yet at the same time, I was somewhere in a realm beyond my life. And he goes, then weeks later, he became aware of the profound shift within himself, a longing to return to that place of oneness with Christ. And I close my eyes often and pray, and I'm drawn back to that spiritual realm. And he goes, he shares this as he says he just believes in the repentance for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I read that the other day, and I felt I needed to share that with you, his experience. We are at a point in the United States, say what you want, when you look at teachers, I shared one yesterday. I think it's appropriate, this teacher says, in the fourth grade to explore sexuality. Another one says, you know, hey, I want them to come out of the closet and admit they're gay or they're trans or whatever. These are the evil people that are the stench before the nostrils of God and are bringing condemnation upon a nation because we are not voting these idiots out of school boards that hire these people to indoctrinate and destroy our children. We need to be proactive. If we can't fix the school system, then get our children out of that system. If you're a parent and you're saying, but I can't afford this, I can't afford that, you can't afford not to. And I hope to share some thoughts on that also this week, on the things maybe we can do. I'm sick of being told what we can't do, we don't need to, or I don't know how to start. We have to. God's patience is coming to an end. Now, I want to share something that may help some of you. A lot of you send me links to videos and people that I should follow and read and study and emulate. And there's one that I've seen many a time on the television and shared to me. That's Ben Shapiro. Now, he's a conservative commentator. He's an attorney. Not that he spends a whole lot of time being an attorney. And he's made a great cottage industry in conservative commentary. And he does it from a very pragmatic, Judaistic point of view. Recently, he was on the Joe Rogan podcast. And he articulated his thinking about Christianity, Christians in general, and the Bible. And I got to say this. A person's worldview is essential to understand. Where are they coming from? What is the source of their view? And his is obviously not a Christian worldview. In fact, you know, his rejection of the divinity of Christ, the way he even looks at the Old Testament, borderlines on what I would call secular cultural Judaism. So listen to what Ben Shapiro said on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Jewish point of view, or we don't believe in the divinity of Christ. I think that there you can make an argument that the Gospels, which were written...
He was just a prophet.
No. We don't even believe he was a prophet.
What do you think he was? What do you guys think?
What do I think he was historically? I think he was a Jew who tried to lead a revolt against the Romans and got killed for his trouble, just like a lot of other Jews at that time who were crucified for trying to lead revolts against the Roman and got killed for their trouble.
So he became legend in story, and it became a bigger and bigger deal as time went on.
Yeah, he had a group of followers, and then that gradually grew, and then...
Do you think he was resurrected?
No, that's not a Jewish belief.
Okay, I just want to check.
Yeah, no, we're not into miracle stories. No, that's not.
You don't have any miracles?
No, not by Jesus. Right? No? They're ones in the Old Testament. Ones? Yeah, you've got Moses splitting the sea and all that.
What do you think happened there?
What do I think happened there?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go with the Maimonidean explanation that it says in the Bible there was a strong east wind. So there's a naturalistic explanation for a physical phenomenon.
My point in sharing that little audio clip is to remind you that your worldview permeates the way you act and live. Even if you are a conservative, your Christian or non-Christian worldview will have a huge impact on what you think, what you believe, and how you act. And with Ben Shapiro, he may be a somewhat cultural conservative. He may be a fiscal conservative, but he's rejecting so much of what Christianity stands for and what it believes. He doesn't believe any of it. We have seen since the time of the collapse and the fall of Jerusalem around 70 AD, we've seen the collapse of empires that have opposed the Christian faith, that oppose God. That's why I shared with you what one of my very good friends had written, this encounter in a time of prayer to understand what God, how he deals with his people. He loves us, but he has to chastise us. And many that come from a secular, even if it's a conservative worldview, never see that. They can't see it. It means nothing to them. They sidestep any of the authority of God in their worldview. And many of the things that they believe, even as so-called conservatives, are in conflict with biblical truth. We as Christians must remain absolute and resolute in our faith. We cannot waver in the face of any views that oppose the inerrant word of God. And as much as I appreciate many of the things that has been stated by Ben Shapiro, and there are things in which I agree, I recognize that much of what he may believe may be somewhat tainted by this unchristian worldview. And so for leaders like him and many others, and there are a lot of secular conservatives out there that have no belief in Christ, or they make a mockery of their belief, or they're in a church body that has gone apostate. Those are things you have to bear in mind. These are also important aspects of where you get your news and information. And people like Ben Shapiro, we need to pray for them that by some miraculous act of God, his heart of stone can be turned by the power of God's Holy Spirit. See, that's why I get people mad when I say elections are not the solution. Elections are nothing more than a reflection of the society in which we live. Joe Biden being elected, and I know there was a lot of cheating in that, but the fact that he would even get 40% of the vote tells me that, let's assume, and I really believe the election was stolen, so I don't make any apologies about that. Let's say there wasn't the couple of 100,000 ballots here and there around the country that tipped the election that came out of ballot boxes that we don't know where they came from. The fact that 49% of the voters in America would vote for a Biden shows a spiritual bankruptcy that is unprecedented. Abortion on demand, transgenderism, sexualizing children, war after war, lie after lie. We have a real problem. If one third of the people voted for a reprobate like that, the nation is in trouble. But it's like leaven. It's destroying the society in which we live. So this program needs to come from a purely Christian worldview to impact how we deal with the secular world in which we are in. The Bible says we are in this world, but not of this world. And the sooner wishy-washy Christians understand that, the better we're going to be, and stop worrying about elections and start worrying about sharing the good news of Christ. Do you believe in this mission and ministry? Go to our website, Truth2Ponder. We could use your help to stay on shortwave radio, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E. Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. We will see you again on Thursday. Jim Calhoun is here tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder. shining the light of truth in a darkening world.